Okay, that sounds fair. I would also like to comment, but does anyone else want to be on the stack for this? Okay, so my comment is that while we don't have necessarily the program director set up to do this training, I feel that it would be worthwhile to, once evaluating the various producers, identify those producers who have good skills and or a capacity to train. I think one of the reasons we fall behind is that we don't take advantage of what's available to us. And I would think that that's something that would make a tremendous difference, because there are some very experienced producers within our midst at each station.
All right. Give them back if no one else wants to say something about this, Kathy.
I'd like to say something.
Yes, Grace. I'll get back to you, Jim. Go ahead, Grace.
Cool.
Any resolution that will cause the station to assign staff for its implementation should be costed out, and that should be part of the resolution process. The National Board should not be setting policy that is basically an unfunded mandate that the station has to pay for. So it has to fall into the budget, and it has to be part of the budget process, and it has to be costed out. So, for instance, to have somebody training people at a station could be a full-time employee salary, and that may not be tenable for a station. Now, if the concept is to have it done by the training done by volunteers, which is possible, still there needs to be some way that a plan for getting the volunteers to volunteer, basically. But if it's meant to be a fixture in the station and it's going to cause significant staff time, then it has to be part of a budget item, and that the cost has to be incorporated in the resolution, in my opinion.
Okay. I'm Jim.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I'm talking about the experiences I have in New York and elsewhere. People sometimes don't even know how to use a mic properly. They don't know how to use editing suites. They don't know how to write a script. They have never been given voice training, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, people are assumed to be on the air are on the air for a whole variety of reasons, but the results of them being on the air and not having any kind of force multipliers to help them get better is the very, very low numbers, which Maxie and other people are familiar with. I personally think that we need to encourage new content. The old content, from my opinion, has in the main had several decades to succeed, and in the main, many of them have not been able to succeed in attracting enough people to listen to them. And I suspect that's true throughout the entire system. So where do we get new content? I do agree we have to reinforce what's already there, but at the same time, we have to be open. There might be some. We have to be open and encourage other people to come in. We need new content. And
well, that's a different question.
No, but that's part of the same question, because, you know, I'm not just simply advocating this to just reinforce what's already on the air. I'm advocating things like this to create new content, new producers. And I don't agree. A lot of effort was made a couple of years ago to reach out to the journalism schools. They were receptive to it. It wasn't initiated. So I know that we can get institutions with resources to help us out. It just is a question of implementing it and follow through. It wasn't follow through for a whole variety of reasons I don't want to get on the air and talk about right now, but it wasn't. But I know it can be done. It probably can be done in every signal area. So we can get people to work with us.
Okay. So you mentioned that you weren't prepared, you didn't want to read the resolution, so I presume we're not ready to vote on this yet, this resolution yet, but since you're bringing it to the committee, I would ask you as well, Jim, to accept people's suggestions for how to craft this resolution. Can you do that? I'm perfectly willing to.
I just have to repeat that we've discussed these issues now for several months. So the question is, I'll be perfectly willing to accept people's comments. Absolutely. But at some point, I'm going to have to pass a resolution.
Well, are you asking?
You don't have to do it tonight.
The resolution. It's up to you. I mean, you said you wasn't prepared to read it. You wouldn't want to read it. The next thing on the agenda is the National Program Director. Yes,
Anita.
Did you want to speak on that training issue?
I wanted to ask a question before we move on.
Okay.
It's, I think Jim has referred two or three times to us having discussed these issues repeatedly during the last few months. Could whoever said that give us some specifics as to when we discussed this stuff? Because I missed two meetings. I missed one meeting in November, but before that, I don't think I ever missed a meeting of this committee, and I don't remember having discussed these issues.
Okay. Well, we did discuss them. We did discuss them, but earlier on, they were brought up, but no resolution was brought to us. We now have actual resolutions to read and decide upon rather than continuing a discussion in the abstract. So you have that resolution in the package sent to you by the secretary.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we're seeing it. Grace?
I read through about half of Jim's resolutions, and I think they're really very, very good, very well written and thought out. I wonder if there aren't programmers' handbooks around Pacifica, because I think rather than pass individual resolutions, might be better to put all of these into a programmer's handbook that can be referred to at the stations by the programmers. I know that an employee handbook is being finalized and will be brought soon to the PNB for approval, a revision of the employee handbook. And I was wondering if anybody knows of a programmer's handbook. We might have one here. I might have one for KPFK, as a matter of fact. It would seem that it might be better to digest these in a handbook form rather than individual resolutions, is what I'm trying to say.
That's a good suggestion. Yes, Anita.
Yeah, a programmer's handbook might be a good idea. I'm not aware of us having one at PFW, but I could be wrong. But nevertheless, I think the important thing is that we're going to try to produce a programmer's handbook. It should be the product of programmers. And I don't mean two or three. But that whoever puts these things out, these proposals out, should get feedback from the programmers collectively so that the end product is their document, not the document of two or three individuals.
Max,
I don't mean to cast aspersions on your proposals, Jim. Don't get me wrong. I think always in terms of democracy.
Okay. Who was that?
Maxie to the staff.
Yes, Maxie.
So I'm going to address something that is a philosophical issue, and one that I will articulate over and over in my tenure as executive director for Pacifica. What Pacifica has done for many years is subscribe to what I would deem the public access model of programming. I think Jim would agree with me that that is an outdated approach to programming, and it is the fundamental reason why Pacifica lags far behind other media, let alone non-commercial media, in terms of audience aggregation. Our programming philosophies are outdated. Even our approach to acquiring programming is outdated. What this game is really about is public service. It's not about programmers and democracy. It's about public service. And the biggest mistake we make is orienting ourselves around what is best for the programmers. What is best for the audience is the most important thing we should be considering. And so there are best practices all up and down public and non-commercial and community radio, whether you talk to the folks at NFCB, whether you talk to the folks at the Public Radio Program Director organization. There are best practices aplenty around programming architecture, about all the things we've discussed and many of the things that Jim is outlining in his resolutions. What we do not want to do, I'm hardcore about this, what we do not want to do is make best practices a result of a democratic process employing people who do not have expertise or an understanding of what best practices are. It's going to be political, and more importantly, it's not going to be informed by a deep understanding of what works in terms of programming. We don't have to model ourselves to NPR in terms of how the perspective of our news coverage comes out or how the perspective of our public affairs programming is. But what we can employ are the best practices in terms of clock, the use of clocks. What we can employ is optimal scheduling of imaging and programming. Those are common threads that no matter if you're in commercial or non-commercial media, there are best practices that we, Pacifica, can apply to what we do. The playbook should not be a democratic, all-hands-on-deck approach. It needs to be based on expertise, informing us on how to perform radio as an art. And then the creative democratic process occurs when we invite people from the community to serve towards public service of our audiences with an understanding of policy and procedure, best practices, and training that allows them to excel for the benefit of the audience. Too often, we have been focused on programmers and not audience. And we've got to stop that. That is the fundamental reason why L.A., why New York, why D.C., why Bay Area, and why Houston underperform audience-wise. There's no other reason than that. It's too much focus on programmers and not enough on audience.
Okay. Benita?
Yeah, actually, I agree with a lot of what Maxie said, and maybe I didn't articulate myself very well. What I was referring to and what I'm concerned with is the programming committee and then the PMB coming out with a document called Programmer's Handbook or whatever you want to call it, and laying it on the program without them having had anything to do with helping to develop that. Now, that is separate from Maxie's concern, I think, about best practices. And I would agree that, you know, best practices is not a democratic process. It's about what has worked over time at this place, and that place, you know, over and over again. So those are two separate things. I just don't want this programming committee coming up with something and then sticking it down programmers' throats. That's my concern.
All right, Jim, just a sec.
Catherine, we've got 25 minutes left on the clock.
Okay. So before you go in, Jim, does anyone else want to speak on this? Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Well, I guess there's a little bit of agreement with everything that everybody said. I personally think that doing station IDs and creatively, in interspersing that in an hour, I would like to have it forced down their throats, frankly, because a lot of them don't do it. I do think that what I'm talking about, and I think we sort of have agreement here, is that radio aesthetics, sound art aesthetics, audio art aesthetics, these things are... there are practices that people, in terms of doing form, recognize are, as Maxie said, best practices. At the same time, we want to figure out ways to differentiate Pacifica and restart it in different ways to make it seem distinct, path-breaking, trailblazing. I'm talking about in a mass sense, not the fact that some producers have narcissistic opinions about what they do. I'm talking about millions of people getting really excited about what we're doing. And I think that having a learning process in the stations, which not only reinforces what already exists, although some of it I think should be tossed out the door, but at the same time brings in new people, and at the same time is looked on as very exciting and is a really happening thing, I think we have the ability to do that. I think we have the ability to do that. And the public access model that Maxie was criticizing, the public access model in the case of Pacifica assumes that somebody comes walking through the door and because of their credentials can automatically communicate to lots of people. It doesn't work like that. They have to be exposed. And frankly, their kind of production would be a lot better if they're exposed to, you know, listening to what has been in the past some of the best radio ever done. I had that experience 25 years ago. So I know it
okay.
Can be restarted and done.
Okay. All
we
right.
Agree.
So, okay. Sounds good. So the thing to, as I see, to look at is to see if some of these motions can be crafted into a programmer's handbook for review, I would imagine, by the program directors and management. It would be how I would look at it. But, okay, so the next discussion we have, we've been speaking of, is the national program director, the possibility of having a national program director. And what was suggested last week is that that there be a rotation, or we suggest a rotation from within the existing program directors at each station, so that each one of them would take a turn serving as the national program director for the purpose of holding the stations responsible, creating uniform programming when needed, things with that are national that we want to cover, and to set, you know, work with training and all that kind of thing. So are there any, does anyone want to bring anything about the national program director or the need for it? No? Okay.
This is Maxie. I just have a quick comment around it.
Okay. Thanks, Maxie.
Yeah. I'm on record on one of the PMBs as stating that I know that there was, if I remember correctly, there was a motion that this be made a priority. I have articulated out loud that I don't think a national program director is our most urgent need in terms of a new national staff member, if you will. That what mm-hmm. we really need as an organization is a national development director, first and foremost. If we can hire a development director, I think we could generate the kind of revenue that would allow us to staff someone like this, but more importantly, to significantly consider the creation, the development of national programming, which I know is a priority of the Pacifica National Board. So while I don't disagree that there's a need for a national program director, I don't think it is the priority, particularly because my background is as a program director and a general manager, and I think we have a lot of this expertise and the capacity to do this work in-house currently. And certainly I'm looking forward to working with Jim and others on a lot of things that were described as resolutions that I think would, in many respects, articulate what a national program director would do. So I just wanted to put that out there, that to me, again, vital to have this in the short term or long term, but not the priority in terms of the national office. I think what we really need is a national development director.
Jim, I wouldn't argue with that. Who is that?
Jim to the stack.
Okay. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I think that we have to reinforce these local station situations. We have to sit there and fix them. I think a national program director is a good idea, but in many times the way it was articulated as an idea was sort of a way to sort of, again, not have people at the local level look at themselves and say, oh, what's our responsibility for this problem, these problems that we have? And, you know, producers, I think, you know, I was on the program council at BAI for 2 years in a row, so I used to have to defend producers all the time. And sometimes people don't want to look objectively at what they're doing, and that, to me, is part of the problem. Every local station situation has to be fixed, because there's no national programming if the amount of people listening locally is so pathetic. You know, what are we talking about? What are, you know, like, you know, what delusional planet are we on? And I think that the development director, now that's an interesting question, Maxie, because one of the problems that we discovered here in New York was whether we can get nonprofit money in New York City because we are associated with a corporation in California. And I'm wondering if that's been resolved.
That's the first time I've heard that, that issue being the concern. I think the bigger question is, if we're looking at national programming, and again, I'm kind of skipping over your response. And Catherine, I apologize if I'm speaking out of turn. I didn't ask for the floor, so I apologize.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Continue. Okay. What I was told walking in the door as the executive director is that national programming was a priority of the board. It's one of the reasons I think they brought me on, because I have experience developing national programming. But the key, in response to what Jim just said, is if we have a national development director who can potentially solicit funds based, even with the issues we have with audit and other financial recording and documentation, if we can get someone on the national level who can find either angel investors, donors,
or even foundations who may not be as scrutinizing about the financial reporting and management issues, that we might be able to get the funds necessary to at least seed the development of national programming. In terms of funding at the local level, I think once audience, if we were to double QM as you spoke to it, it's like, it's kind of why when I was in another meeting with the strategic planning committee, and the conversation was around the concept of underwriting. And I said it's a bit difficult to do underwriting if you don't have ratings. And I knew my reputation at the time of that conversation had ratings. So it was like one of these conversations that was putting the cart before the horse. I think it's important that we ask ourselves, what's the necessary first step to get to the end game, and that being national programming, that being funding from foundations for our local properties. This question about whether a California-based organization can get funding in New York is a great one. It's the first time I've heard it, so it's something I need to probably do some more investigation on. But because we're a national footprint, I would like to think that national foundations with a national focus on social justice and other matters that are in line with us would come to the table, especially with the footprint that we have.
Point of information on that.
Can I speak to this?
Wait, let me just answer.
Hold on, who was that?
I wanted to respond to what Matthew just said about the foundation issue. It's my understanding the development director several years ago came to an LSD meeting and discussed how she had discovered how Pacifica in New York had never gotten a dispensation in New York State to operate as a nonprofit. Now, I discovered that in the 1970s, Pacifica did get money, BAI did get money from the New York State Council of the Arts, but I don't know, has that been resolved or not? So as I understand it, because we're a California nonprofit, there has to be special measures made in different states where we operate, Texas, the District of Columbia, and New York State, to allow us to receive money from the local National Endowment of Humanities or New York or local state council of arts things. And I don't know if that's ever been resolved. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
This is Grace, who wanted to speak on that?
I wanted to respond to Maxie.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, please.
I think that Pacifica may not follow normal media, nonprofit media fundraising in terms of major donor fundraising and development. The reason is NPR stations have a very different demographic than Pacifica stations. I believe that probably our demographic of listeners and supporters has a lower general income, annual income, and therefore our major donor list is probably less than other radio stations would have. I think we have had a number of development directors hired. We had a national development director in 2009 who brought in literally no money. That was an employee for a year, I believe. We've had development directors at various stations. Most of them have flopped. We've had efforts at small levels of corporate underwriting recently at KPFT that also brought in close to zero revenue. We had major donor efforts at KPFT also last year that didn't bring in any money. The same thing with WBAI, very little money brought in. So we've had a lot of failures in Pacifica with major donors. I have some ideas about that, but more to the point regarding programming, I did have an idea. I actually put it in a part of a strategic plan, and that was we do have celebrity support. And what we could do is, across the network, interview celebrities in long-form interviews, asking that are evergreen-type interviews. Ask them to promote the interviews on their own social media. That would be free advertising and public relations to a very targeted audience, a large audience. for that celebrity. They would promote it before the show airs to announce it, after the show airs with a link to the show on the archive. This would give us a great deal of exposure and social media presence and public relations. We could even go to controversial items. I don't know if you know this, but Roseanne Barr once had a show on KPFK. And it would be, we would get an incredible amount of controversial coverage, but coverage nonetheless, if we interviewed Roseanne and allowed her to give her point of view on what has happened with her career recently. So there's, and you might not want to go into that kind of thing, but we have a lot of celebrities, and we could simply interview them. And those interviews can be aired again and again. They can be shared between the stations. And that, and we all know that celebrities, whether they're entertainment celebrities or political celebrities or even medical or scientific celebrities, bring a lot of listeners. So, and that gives us social media without cost.
Okay.
Considerable social media. So that's an idea.
Okay.
Maybe someone would want to work with.
We're just about out of time. I just wanted to clarify. I believe that the problem in New York with fundraising is referenced specifically to discretionary funds, congressional discretionary funds, where a congressperson or a local assembly person has funds that they can give out to different organizations, where that's where we've had some problems. I don't think we have problems with the other stuff. I believe that's the case. So we're down to 12 minutes. Did I hear someone? Was that you, Eric, giving me
the time? I was just going to give you the time check, as you just did, Kate. That's what it was.
Okay, good. So under programming, it seems to me that we've covered a lot of this. We're talking about broadcast procedures, copyright, the potential for new programming, people submitting ideas, video streaming, podcasts, and website for additional programming. Does anyone have any comment in these last few moments? And I just want to say I realized once you brought up the thing about funding that we inadvertently skipped the underwriting category. But I would ask that people look at the draft sponsorship agreement that is attached to your email so that we can see if that is something we want to reasonably consider. So if anyone wanted to speak on any of these issues under programming, we'll limit it to 30 seconds since we're close to the end of time.
Grace, I'm sorry, Catherine, if I may, this is Maxie. I do want to speak to the underwriting. If time permits, I'll wait, but there's a probably an important update I give around that.
Well, please do. We don't have much time left. Go right ahead.
Okay. I just will let you know that the strategic planning meeting that's scheduled for December 10th, the development, the organization called Greater Public will be presenting to that committee pros and cons of underwriting in an effort to inform and educate that committee about how underwriting can be utilized or not at Pacifica, how it can be customized and tailored to our own ethos, because it's clear that the genie's out the box, that some stations are actually doing it now, and I will add they're doing it improperly and could get us in trouble from an FCC standpoint. But regardless, there are stations employing variations of underwriting currently. So we're going to have that meeting, like I said, on the December 10th Strategic Planning Committee meeting. We're going to be presented by two members of Greater Public, which is the leading organization on revenue generation for the nonprofit media environment. And so I just want to alert this committee to the fact that that committee has already scheduled a presentation, and I'm sure that information will be shared with the national board. And I don't know what should be done from there. I just wanted to alert you all to that fact.
Thank you for that. Have you seen the draft that was created in New York for WBAI, Maxie? The draft agreement?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were. Yeah, I did see the draft. I have reviewed it briefly. I have not had enough time. I start this afternoon, so I haven't had a chance to look at it in great detail. It's more of an affidavit, and that's fine. That's necessary. But I think I think this presentation to the Strategic Planning Committee is to really allow the national board to establish policy around mm-hmm. underwriting. Any stations decide to employ underwriting, that they are doing it within a policy from the national office with variations allowed as long as they don't supersede what the policy is. So that's what I think is the end game of that conversation. So I have seen it to answer your question.
Okay, thank you. And was that Jim you wanted to comment?
Yes. When we moved to 388 Atlantic Avenue, one of the things we did was we assembled about 40 to 50 strategic plans for radio stations around the United States. And one of the things they emphasized was the need to develop and expand the audience. So what always kills me with the underwriting issue is I'm always in favor of additional income streams, but the ultimate income stream is to double and triple and quadruple our audience. So to me, the strategic planning process that they're involved with is a little half-assed, because that, to me, is the key objective. That's what you have to do in order to survive. I want to suggest something to you, Maxie, that happened a couple of years ago, and that is that we were approached by the Creative Coalition in New York City to have major A-list actors and actresses read banned books and writings on the air. Alec Baldwin was the contact for that. And that never happened for a variety of reasons, but these are things that still exist as possibilities we could do that are sort of different ways to do national programming, but at the same time work with folks that can potentially help us financially.
Okay. So now, does anyone want to comment on programming?
Grace.
Okay, Grace. Yeah.
We have
5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we basically, a lot, many of us, Maxie, Jim, myself, and others on this committee agree that we have to improve our programming, that's the key to the survival of Pacifica. I'd like to note that I was told by somebody on the LSD at KPFA that board voted just about unanimously to take a stand against corporate underwriting. A survey was done at KPFK recently of some of our members, and the result came in 2-1 against corporate underwriting. This is for Pacifica. The hallmark of Pacifica is that we take no corporate money. Now, I know that there have been some instances recently of taking some form of corporate underwriting. That is true, but a number of the stations promote the fact constantly when we're doing fund drive that we are independent and we don't take any corporate funding. So it is, just want to alert you, Maxie, that this is an extremely controversial issue and that the brand of Pacifica for 60 years has been that we don't take corporate underwriting. So it's not, wouldn't be an easy change, that's for sure.
This is Maxie to the stack real quick.
Okay. Yes, Max. Go ahead.
I'm aware of the history. and the position. What troubled me, and again, I'm not advocating that we go to underwriting. I just noticed in reviewing the stations that I hear it. And so my issue is twofold. Number one, if stations are going to employ it and we don't want to risk our FCC compliance, we got to rein it in and or create policy around it. But two, when I listened to the Strategic Committee discuss underwriting, what became painfully clear is that it was a significant amount of misinformation about what underwriting is and can look like, and more importantly, how it can be employed. And so I just thought it was important for greater public to explain what underwriting really is, how it is done now, as opposed to perhaps, you know, 40, 50 years ago when decisions were made not to do it at Pacifica. And then the last comment I'll make is, while I certainly respect our history and what we, quote-unquote, stand for, I think, you know, all organizations at different times have to ask themselves if there are ways that they can adjust their sort of identification, if you will. They can maintain an ethos in a way that allows them to participate in something that might have been taboo in the past but might make sense now. Again, I'm not advocating for underwriting. I'm simply saying that if we're going to have any conversations around, I know that a lot of there are some stations that actually want to do it, that we need to at least have an informed, well-understood discussion versus this sort of conjecture, rumor, and rampant misinformation. And so that's why I've gotten the greater public team to present to us.
Catherine, this is Eric. Can I respond very quickly?
Yes, go ahead, Eric.
I'm Matthew. This is Eric from Washington. I just want to say quickly, in terms of underwriting, corporate money is not, this would not be new to Pacific or some of our stations. We never used the U word before. I'm sure you're familiar with the employee match programs that many of the public stations have. So we've had that dating back over 30 years. So if you worked at, I mean, heaven forbid, I mean, some people need jobs, so they work for Lockheed, you know. Lockheed says, if you want to contribute to Pacific or name the station, we'll match it. So, I mean, it sounds awful, but yes, I mean, but in a lot of cases, we, you know, our parents can't choose who they work for or didn't choose. The bottom line, we're not a stranger to corporate money. I just put that out there. This, you know, a new precedent would not be established here in terms of Pacific or any of the stations having a relationship with corporate dollars. So that employee match program is over 30 years old. We haven't utilized it for decades for reasons, but it's been out there. I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Max,
okay, thank you. Yes, Max. Max, we're just about out of time, so you'll be the last comment.
I'll be very brief here. What I said at the very beginning to, I think, the PMB and certainly to the Strategic Planning Committee is that if we don't go with underwriting, which, again, I'm at peace with, then we need to be the number one absolute best organization with respect to individual giving in all of non-commercial media, which means, again, employing best practices and learning how to do cultivation strategies like no other. And, again, this is an area where, like programming, best practices need to be employed, and there are blueprints out there on how to do this. And that's why, again, I've asked the greater public to present, not because of underwriting exclusively. That's one aspect of many revenue generation opportunities that they can inform us about. But more importantly, to get us to get a clear understanding that, you know, there are other modes of revenue generation that we as a national organization can employ that we are not either doing at all or not doing well, and that's because we're not employing best practices.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. We are out of time. So I don't recall when the next meeting will be, but you'll get that notification. And from what I see, the things to work on are this potentially programmer's handbook as a way of expressing some of these many resolutions. So we could talk about that when we come back online. So thank you all for being participating in this meeting. I think it's been productive. So this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you. Good night, everyone. Okay.
Thanks, Catherine. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.